Everything's better electrified, including the first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Evolve your journey beyond the pump. Visit a Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com or give them a call, 562-314-4603 for complete details. Well, in the first half, we'll do the 4th of July recap. Tell you an interesting story about hand strength and what that all implies. Crazy story out of San Francisco and all that and more. And we'll do that right after this.
On September 3rd, 1990, Betty Jones and Catherine Krigler were raped and murdered in an unsolved case known as the Labor Day Murders.
You sure you really want to hear?
I do.
This is as bad as it gets.
There was so much blood that it soaked through the carpet.
I never understood how scary it was, that sense of being trapped.
Now more than ever, I want to help solve the murder of my beloved grandmother, Mama Betty. Listen to Knock Knock now on Podcast One, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Mario Lopez. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, here to interview A.C. Slater, A.C. Hader, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. You're going to mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Graham?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan.
Kinky.
All right. Well, we'll have a recap of the 4th of July since everyone's back from the long weekend.
Did you make it to Red
Rock? No, but I have an update.
Oh.
Got a few updates on Red Rocks and House of Blues.
Ooh.
And I couldn't get back out there. My daughter and all her friends want to come to Malibu and Let me just ask you guys this. Did your parents think it was important that you like them when you were a kid?
No.
It never occurred to me till this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it never occurred to me either. I think that's part of the problem now. Yeah. I think parents wish that their kids liked them.
I did like them, but I don't think it was their goal to get me to like them.
They weren't pandering by any means.
Yeah, I know, because no is what you heard just about everything all the time. And I realize that I think today's, everyone wants everyone to like them. And if you live with someone, you want them to like you. But I think like has maybe replaced respect. Or some other word,
yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what's going on these days.
Wasn't that a Tony Soprano moment with what's his fuck? I loved you. You don't have to love me,
but you will respect
that's
me.
Right.
That's right.
That.
Chrissy Moltisanti. Look at you.
It's a bygone era. So in the Blues Traveler department.
You said House of Blues, but I assume you meant Blues Traveler.
Did I say House
yeah.
of Blues?
You did.
Oh, just now?
Mm-hmm.
When you were leading
oh,
in.
Oh, yes.
Beginning.
Blues. Yes. I meant Blues Traveler. Sorry. They played Red Rocks or Red Rock. No, Red Rocks.
Rocks.
You're the expert.
I don't know. And it's the altitude, man. You can't think over there. And they play every fourth, and I was trying to get out there, but I couldn't. But don't worry, we got a makeup date planned. But I did call John, and then you can find the song regarding Steven. I did call him a week and a half ago, and I told him, here's the song I want you to play.
Because yeah. Game the set list.
They've incorporated one of my favorite songs into their set list already, so I had another offering.
Sure. That's why you never feed a stray cat.
That's right. Always come. Weren't you telling us that John got to choose the set list
yes.
for this particular show? They all
yes.
rotate or something?
That means mm-hmm. at the next live show, Brian, you get to pick what Adam rants about, and then I'll
that's
do it the
terrific.
Next show.
Yes, I'll give you guys a list of three things. You can circle all of them, and I'll complain about them. So, according to Max Zapata, whose friend was in the audience, well, maybe we should play a little of the song first. You know what? Actually, I'll buy you a second, Dawson. Find the live. There's probably a live Red Rocks version of this song, which is, I don't know. It'll be more realistic. People will be put in a place. So, Chris, who do you know who went to the show?
Oh, it's Rod. He's taken photos for you as well. He lives in
Rod,
Denver.
Yeah.
So he went out to the show. He takes photos of Blues Traveler at Red Rocks all the time. Like, he's a big photographer out there. But he said that John dedicated the song to Adam on mic before he played it.
How romantic!
I know. And as John told me, I got hit up by him on, I don't know, Saturday, Sunday. He said, you coming? You need passes? What's going on? And I said, sadly, no, but, when are you coming around town again? And he said, 29th, Irvine. So July 29th, Irvine Meadows.
Nice.
And he told me something kind of interesting, which is, when I talked to him before, he just said they're out with Jewel and Train.
Damn.
I think. Okay. And he said, Jewel's just crushing it, man, just singing her ass off, like going new places. Mm-hmm. And he says it's like a challenge to him every night to try to keep up with her.
She's a real talent. She's funny too.
Yeah.
Remember she
is.
Was at one of the roasts.
Right.
Yeah, and we saw her at a very small Acura event, I think, Chris, at Pebble Beach, like a corporate thing, like 2 years ago.
She was excellent, played all the hits, and then was very funny with her banter, too. Half of it was just her just joking around and talking with everybody. It was great.
Nice. The complete package. So he said he's working hard to stay with her, which I like. I like when people find ways to motivate themselves, even not at an advanced age, but at an advanced place in your career. Mm-hmm. Blues Traveler doesn't need to prove anything to Jewel. He's just sitting backstage listening to her going, she's crushing it. Mm-hmm. I want to up my game. I don't want people to come out and be let down a little. All right. I'm sorry. Do we have the live version? So this is Red Rocks, I guess.
I'd like to dedicate this to my boyfriend, Adam Carolla.
Right.
That's right.
He can...
That's Jewel on the harmonica.
He can write a stirring song. This is one of his stirring songs.
Well, I guess your name, I'm sure you know. Some mutual friend. I can't help but feel that I left him behind. Does he still stay with you, or did his pain ever end? I guess I don't deserve to know if he ever left. I guess I don't really need to see. If he wound up with you, did he ever break free? When we were both young, you took us in and taught us to play survival games.
something haunting about this song, and I'm not sure what it is.
I smelled something good and I followed its track. But all it could smell was the world that you shake. It took all my strength and I just couldn't look back. I remember him calling after me. I keep it.
Yeah, he can belt it out in person. All right. You have the song meaning, Chris? Because I don't know
who that song sounds sad. Yeah, I'm seeing John Popper said the song was about a childhood friend who had terrible experiences and luck. He was kidnapped by his father.
Jesus.
And when he came back, no one would speak to him about it except John. Throughout the years, they drifted apart and then met again at high school and became friends again. He had lost numerous family members through death, and once again, John would talk about it with him. He wrote the song about him. Apparently, they met up again after he released it.
Wow.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with him and Irvine Meadows on the 29th. Yes.
John Popper has a very infamous, at least among my high school peers and I, lyric that I, until adulthood, did not know what the real lyric was. In the very famous song Hook, which everybody is, which, by the way, is, I think, maybe the first example of, like, meta. Like, he's singing about the song that he's singing about.
It's a
great song.
Yeah.
Ben, do you have the lyric that I sent you?
Yeah.
You have we're scrubbing through it.
Okay. I love Hook. It's one of my favorite Blues Traveler songs.
And I'd love for you guys, you might already know it because you're a big fan, but I'd love for you guys to tell me what he's saying in this line, because up until very recently, I was singing a song that I couldn't believe they played on the air. They played on terrestrial radio until I finally figured out what the real lyric was.
Well, I can buy you a minute by telling you that there is some light at the end of the tunnel, because when I packed up Natalia and her girlfriends to take her out to Malibu, Natalia fires up her phone and plugs it in, and we listen to everything on 10, and it's a lot of Kanye West, and it's a lot of just weird rap songs about nothing and robot music and shit. This was 50% Elvis Presley.
All right.
Did she just see the movie?
They'd all seen the movie.
All right.
Now they've all seen it, and now we get to listen to some good music.
Okay.
Or at least normal music.
Yeah, did we start? I think you had to pivot to like other artists of the era. Otherwise, this is going to be a passing fad.
No, there's some old old Jackson 5 cropping up.
Okay,
little Motown. Even some more nouveau country stuff like popping up.
Boy.
Like it's spreading out. It's getting away from the Roomba vacuum filter into lyrics and background musicians and all that.
Good.
Yeah, the song, you can look for this one and tell me when Gina's lyrics are ready. But I think there's a song called Rubbernecking. I didn't see the movie.
It's called. It's hardly featured at all in the film. May not be featured at all, but it's called a Rubbernecking.
Yeah, right.
That's all
that
would be.
I was vaguely familiar
Stop
with
the
it.
Stop look and listen, babe.
Oh, yeah, now you know it. Well, we don't need to play it anymore. We got Brian. But
not a lot of Elvis songs featured in that movie, now that I think about it.
So you saw it, but you haven't mentioned that you've seen it, which is, I guess, what we need to know?
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 3-star movie. It's good. It's a good movie. It's
The kids were...
Well, it's Baz Luhrmann.
In a weird thing with them living in a TikTok world full of 30-second bites, They've all seen it multiple times in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give Sunny a side compliment here and say that I'm going to guess Natalia has seen in her life 50 movies, maybe 75. Like, if you're a new moviegoer, a Baz Luhrmann movie about Elvis is going to blow your fucking mind.
Right,
if you're us, it's going to be, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've
well, there's
both.
Also this thing, which is the kids these days. One person has seen it 3 times, and their friend hasn't, so they just go with them.
Oh,
the friend that
kind.
Wants to see it.
Sure.
Sonny's been dragged to it a few times. Not dragged, but he wants to see Black Phone or whatever's going
Ethan
on.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke, I think.
And
they're
NC-17, and so then they end up just going to this other
Elvis
one.
Again.
We have the lyrics.
Yeah, just listen to the last lyric that they're going to play and tell me what he's saying.
Yeah, we're coming in a little bit in the lead, Gina. You pointed it out. Here we go.
I'll do as I'll decide and let it ride until I die. And only then shall I abide this by to catch a little tune.
Right here.
I've hit 3 minute ditties.
Stop.
Oh, you think he say titties?
I felt too many titties is what I thought until incredibly recently.
I think he says ditties.
Yeah, hip.
Of hip 3 minute ditties.
Yeah. Right.
Not hip. I felt too many titties, which I never could figure out how he could get away with playing this song on the radio.
Well, the fun thing about Blues Traveler shows is, you know, everyone who goes to Blues Traveler shows is huge fans, and we all sing the songs all the way through. And you look around and it's like nobody ever sang that. We've sung hip ditties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not hip 3 minute ditties.
I never knew until right now.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I
knew ditties. I didn't know there was
ditties.
I didn't know hip 3 minute.
Ditties.
Yeah, he gets to. He kind of raps in a lot of his lot of his stuff. All right, so the kids are listening to Elvis.
All right.
Good.
It's a step in the right direction, man.
One thing I've been driving around, whatever the new Tesla, whatever the expensive Tesla Gullwing, whatever. For the weekend, and it's got the yoke steering wheel.
Okay.
Oh,
you guys familiar with that?
It's kind of like a line, like a bar, isn't it?
It looks like a yoke. They call it yoke. It's like whatever's in the cockpit of an airplane.
Yeah. You hold it like this. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You hold it at 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Let's see. Yeah. 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Mm. It's not round.
Yeah.
It's up about 6, 7 inches or so, and then you just hold it to the right and left, which is fine when you're going straight.
I'm surprised that's legal these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems unnecessary.
It's a little unnecessary. I got to say, the Trans Am race I was in the other month, they had the top of the wheel, a section sawed off, so it created a sort of de facto yoke, but the bottom part was round. They just took out a section. And they take out this section because you can't see the dash with that wheel going through it. You don't really use the top part, but I will say this. I had no fucking idea how many miles I drove with my knee.
Mm-hmm, same.
I do so much goddamn knee steering.
Same.
It's not really steering. It's more stabilizing.
Yep.
When you're answering it. When you're texting and you're just motoring around the far above, I have my knee on, my left knee is on the bottom. There is no knee work with the yoke.
I'm not trying to virtue signal. I've literally never done that. It's never crossed my mind.
Adam, I feel you.
I scared the shit out of Brian on 395 when I took a bong rip driving with my knee.
Right, we're driving through the mountains and Don's like, watch this.
There's two things I realize I miss about a round steering wheel is A, knee driving, which again is knee stabilizing. It's just, we're going down the freeway and I'm just going to use my inside of my left knee to just kind of keep us going here. Tons of that. And I let cars unwind after a turn. I don't steer them out of the turn. I sort of take my hands off the wheel and the wheel just, the car
writes
unwinds.
Itself, yeah.
It corrects. And without the round wheel part, it's weird.
It's
the
like
unwinding
you're in an arcade.
Is weird. Yes. It's a little unnecessary. I get why they're kind of doing it, but I could go with a sort of half yoke. I could go with the top part gone, but I like the round part at the bottom. Anyway.
I respect it.
So that's Hot Yolk Doc. We have our what we did on the 4th, we have, well, let's talk. What'd you do, Gina?
We had a raucous weekend. We kicked it off by seeing the Minions movie with, by the way, a lot of teenage girls. I don't know if that's like if Natalia's over it, but tons of teenage girls.
Well, actually, they must have grown up with Minions.
Exactly.
Right?
Made the movie
years.
More fun. A lot of cheering from the girls and hooting and hollering. Very fun. Whenever a Minion would do something cute, they'd all go, aww. So it was better than Lightyear in that respect. But we apparently there's a huge 3rd of July festival in Moore Park, which is technically Ventura, up by kind of where I got married.
We run it together. Moore Park.
Moore Park. What did I say?
I don't know.
You said Moore Park. Which I never heard that.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Moore Park. Moore Park.
Now I can't figure it out. It's just
Moore Park.
One.
Okay,
I
Moore Park.
One
it's Moore Park.
All
whatever.
You need to know is backwards, Moore Park is crap room.
Thank you. Dawson was coming. It was some helpful.
He held the mic with his knee when he said that.
So that was like lovely. It was a total like throwback. It felt very Midwestern, very, dare I say, Southern. Mm-hmm. A lot of blondes and flags.
All right.
And noticed some T-shirts that I couldn't get pictures of, but I did want to mention them. If you ever get sick of hanging out in L.A., and I kind of get the feeling you do, you need to head yourself up to Moore Park.
Mm.
Because here were some of the T-shirts that were featured. Well, let's go Brandon, obviously. Black and white American flags that said, I don't kneel. And my favorite shirt. On the front, it said, I don't kneel. On the back, there's a different shirt, says, I'm American. I don't kneel for the anthem. I thank our troops. I own guns. I eat bacon.
Wow.
All right.
So if you want to go to Moore Park and really feel like you went out of town,
I
go
do,
there.
Shocking. They found a guy who believes all three things.
I love it. I was down at the beach club. There's this beach club that if you get a house up on the hill, they give you a key fob and you can go in there.
It's just called the beach club.
Just called, no, it's got a name, but
are you in the Bel Air Bay Club?
No, I'll think of the name. But anyway, La Costa. It's called La Costa Beach Club.
So just drop his name if you go up there.
And
in my defense, there is a club called the beach club.
Oh, there is. Huh. Well, I
believe less people think I was just out of my mind.
Oh. No, it's called La Costa, and it's great, except for everything is ruined because they have a separate door with a separate key fob that you enter if you have a dog.
Oh.
And you have to go down the side and go to the beach. You can't like walk through the beach club. It's not really a club. It's just a front door and then sand, but no use in the main door.
Okay.
And okay, you guys, it's first things first. As I go through my travels and I see people just with their dogs everywhere now, ubiquitous. They're walking through Starbucks, they're walking through McDonald's, they're going through the Trader Joe's. It's dogs everywhere. And we've turned a blind eye to dogs everywhere, airports, airplanes, all forms of transportation, everything all the time, even kind of personally, like when the, you know, aging starlet Yenta comes in here, she's always carrying her dog along with her. We've cracked down at the beach. The beach, like if somebody said, like it's like they went, what are we going to do with all these extra dog rules we stopped enforcing at the airport and on airplanes and in supermarkets and every private business and everywhere in society? Why don't we dump them all at the beach? So now there's big beach rules about your dog, but there doesn't seem to be any anywhere else in society, which is weird because the dog is the beach is kind of the natural place for a dog to, and nobody begrudges anyone. As a matter of fact, it's sort of majestic to see the guy with this piece of driftwood chucking it out there and the dog running. I would prefer seeing that, but Phil can't get in. This is a newer thing because, of course, two people came in with a dog and they scrapped and then there was an argument and now it's ruined. It's basically the one guy throws the beer bottle onto the field and now we're all drinking out of a styrofoam cup because one fuck up. We've created a society around the one fuck up and the one incident. And now no more Phil on the beach. So, I don't have the fob for the other door, so I like come in and I bring Phil, and I'm told he can't pass through.
Membership revoked.
There's also that thing where the dog's already there, you know, and they go, but you got to go around and go back out to the sidewalk and then go around to the dog. fob door, and then I'm like, I don't have the dog fob, and they're like, we'll send a guy out around, and now it's a thing. You know what I mean? And then the guy always has to do the, can we put a moratorium on these conversations, especially when people get into their 50s? I'm not supposed to do this.
Oh, shut up.
But I suppose, yeah, okay, thank you, hero. I mean, the guy was perfectly nice and everything, but please, the conversation, the number of conversations I've had with folks that have just like walked over and opened a side door or something, going, the whole conversation there is about how they're not supposed to, and how it's really,
this.
And it's like our combined age is 114.
Yeah. The pound of flesh on the way over.
Let's talk about anything other than what the potential risk is to this very risky behavior where you wipe the key fob and the dog walks in through the side. But Phil and I think I tweeted a picture actually of Phil on the beach out there. Phil was
happy boy.
Phil's happy when he hits that water. He likes his tootsies in the water. So a lot of discussion about, and so now here's the problem. Now it's time to leave.
Good luck.
And guy with key fob is in the middle of the sand with his back to me, engaged in a conversation. Mm. So then I'm standing out there and I shout the guy's name out from the patio part. He's enthralled with this conversation. So I'm looking at him with his back turned, and then I'm looking at Phil chained up over there. And I don't want to go get him and pull him away from the conversation to get the key fob and go out. So I just grab Phil and we just hustle him right out the front door. Oh, that was another conversation. The next day, oh boy.
Oh boy.
They dog through you. Dog through front door.
Remember
can't have it.
Had to have a word.
Jesus Christ. It's like we have so many conversations. Just I'm just like an atheist. Time traveler who was just put on this planet to be annoyed by conversations that really never need to be had. But that was the day before. But on the 4th, barbecuing, brought the girls. I love the dude who shows up with the red, white, and blue socks on and gets the table. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. On one day of the year, festive socks is fine. But I like the people who do it up.
Yeah.
I just like that person. And the people, you guys tell me, there's a sort of thing that has to do with barbecuing, and it speaks to much more than cooked meat. It's kind of that thing we talked about with Van Halen with the green M&Ms. Like, if you got this right, we know you got other things right. Mm-hmm. There's the me version of the barbecue. That's the Trader Joe's bag that's bleeding through because something's dripping and something got put on there sideways and it's punching through the bottom. Then there's the guy with the collapsible wagon. He's got the wagon. He's got the wagon, but this one scissor folds down to a smaller size, and it's made of burlap, and it's stretched out. He's got everything laid out, and he's pulling the wagon.
It's already portioned.
And he's setting the stuff out, and he's got all the tongs and the spatulas. He's
cutting boards.
He's doing surgery, essentially. Mm-hmm. Everything's been prepped and smoked and readied, and you just look at him, and you go, that guy is his shit together. Not as it pertains to barbecue. I'm talking about in life. I'm always... In a world where everything has wheels and coolers with wheels and more, I'm still always the guy with the satchel that says, you know, the paper thing says Saks Fifth Avenue on it that I pulled out of a closet that I'm dragging around with one handle broken. I don't know what that is, but you show up and there's the guys who do it. And they know what they're doing. They know eyes are on them.
Right.
They like
it's the
it.
The show.
Yeah. Yes.
You often will cite some obscure fact or something, and you'll follow it up with, can you believe I was a bad student? This is the flip side of that. This is, yes, we can believe it, because on the 4th of July, which doesn't sneak up on you,
you are
constantly bringing things up, like you said, bleeding, ad hoc, you know, barbecue.
Yes.
Yes, we can believe it.
Yes. And I saw more than one of those weird collapsible wagon things, which I enjoy.
Badass.
Mm. I also made burgers and dogs. Ooh. For the girls, and they loved them.
You know, it's the next step in like barbecue prep is, you know, there's gonna be flies or bugs or whatever. It's either the nets, yeah, you know, the little over the canopy net, or we have there are these little stands holding my hand of about 18 inches, and they got little floppy propellers on them, and you turn them on and they just whirl like a helicopter.
I have
visual evidence over the course of the last year.
On the theme of that, while I am haphazard and sloppy in my own approach to things, I demand excellence from those around me.
Smart.
That's what makes a true leader. It makes me number one. I get the best out of everyone.
You're welcome.
We would go out and we would do catch a contractor. I'm going right back to your 99-cent collapsible net thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We would do catch a contractor. We'd be in Corona. It'd be like 107 degrees. And at some point, it'd be time for lunch. Mm. And they did good craft service. I mean, there's a big pile of chicken, a big pile of beef, and everything else. Those yellow jackets, weird meat-eating...
They like protein.
Weird protein bees, yep, would just be nasty. And it's just sitting all the time. And after about 7 of those sessions, I was like, you can go online and for $1 a piece, get the little umbrella, yep, thing and just put, yep, it on top. Dome. It's got a little net, a little dome. My grandfather had those when I was a kid. Like, they exist. Mm-hmm. Go avail yourself of that shit, would you please? I did have those. I will say. All right. But the propeller thing, that's a new level. All right. So we have more to talk about. There's also an interesting hand grip strength study that verifies some of my thoughts that Chris found. We got a Bette Midler, Macy Gray into the cornfield discussion. I wasn't aware, but Chris found that too. Another story out of San Francisco. First, I'll tell you about Dave. We've all been tight on cash unexpectedly. Yeah. And God, I grew up that way and still feeling it every once in a while. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggle to make ends meet, unexpected expenses can be really stressful. Dave can help. Dave, it's a banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's right. That's money. And you need to fill your tank. God knows. It's probably that much out in L.A. Buy wedding gift or catch up on bills. No interest, no credit check needed. That's right. Millions have already downloaded the Dave app to get financial relief with extra cash. If you're in a pinch and you need some help, download Dave. It's a helping hand from future you. It's Dave, right, Dawson?
Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking protected by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with more right after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance... For everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
And then the 4th of July, here's an actual customer out here. What's the best kind of firework to buy?
Wouldn't you like to know, Weather Boy?
Where are your parents?
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That is the greatest compilation of words ever strung together. How old was that person that said
that? He looked to be about 13.
See,
sounds about right.
Parents home trying to figure out how to get them to like them more versus, let me hear that again. That made me laugh. Wouldn't you like to know
weather? What's the best kind of firework to buy?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
Would you hire that guy and say he's got moxie, or is that guy a pain in the ass?
Give us some ears to marinate.
But yeah. What if he's just being funny?
I wouldn't hire him to dog sit.
All right. I want to get Brian's weekend.
Yeah, real quick. I think Ben might have a compilation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
interesting. I sent you a whole bunch. Yeah, that's these are them. They're just floppy little helicopter wings.
Yeah.
There you go. And,
yeah.
They set up flies away.
Have a base.
Present.
Smart.
I think
yeah.
We know everyone's getting for Christmas.
Yeah. What do they call them?
Bladed fly repellent.
Yeah. Nice.
Fly fighter.
Nice.
Those things are great.
Yeah. And you set them on. They got
two AA batteries. You set them next to the food and they whirl and keep flies away.
Yeah.
And love bees it. And everything, apparently.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
We have Bette and Macy got into some trouble. I didn't hear about it over the weekend, but Chris evidently did.
So I guess let's start off with Bette. This is really interesting because she was one of the many celebrities who declared a cancellation on the 4th of July, saying that there are a lot of people not celebrating the 4th.
A lot of women not feeling so independent.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But she also tweeted something kind of interesting.
More wieners for me, bitches. Oh. But go ahead.
Literally.
That's right.
She tweeted something interesting, and I'll just read you the tweet. Women of the world, we are being stripped of our rights over our bodies, our lives, and even our name. They don't call us women anymore. They call us birthing people or menstruators and even people with vaginas. Don't let them erase you. Every human on earth owes you. And that's all the tweet says.
Replacement theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and now she's being called a TERF, transphobic. And yeah, there's just this whole movement of just like because of the Roe v. Wade stuff and everything, like now being a woman is very important. And this pride of being a woman is just kind of creating some controversy.
Well, left fucked itself because 10 minutes ago we couldn't define what a woman was. Nobody knew. It's all in your head. And then Roe v. Wade comes and then they go, women are being. Yeah. So do you know what a woman is or don't you know what a woman was? And they kind of painted themselves into this corner of like a woman is whoever thinks they're a woman and birthing people. And it's always going to come back and bite you in the ass when you try to stretch biology versus labeling and start getting into, I can't define a woman, but if you think you're a woman, well, then if you think you're a woman, then the Supreme Court has attacked you as well, even though you have a cock and balls. Like Leah Thompson or whatever.
Thomas,
the swimmer. Sure. That's a woman, but then is Roe v. Wade affecting Leah?
Yeah, I think she's all right.
Well, then who's a woman and how's it work? You fucker. Look, Bette gets exactly what that fucking old cunt deserved, which is she was on the tip of the spear all this shit. Now her own fucking the spear she was on the tip of is stabbing her in the fucking asshole. Good. I'll eat each other, all you fucking retards have been trying to reform society in your image in the last 20 minutes. Fuck you. Thank you. Macy Gray got into trouble. So yeah. Who's mad at Bette? Her own, right?
Yeah.
Or the extreme side of
her
own.
They're calling her TERFs.
They're calling her TERFs, yeah, just because they want us to say birthing people or people with vaginas. And she's saying, no, be proud to be a woman, and women, we must stand up. So, so they're not happy with her right now. So she's getting a lot of backlash along with Macy Gray. So she was on Piers Morgan Uncensored.
Ted Nugent must be laughing his ass off.
Couldn't have told you definitively this girl was alive.
Yeah, and here's some comments that Macy made.
Uh-oh, controversial.
I will say this, and everybody's going to hate me, but as a woman, just because you go change your parts doesn't make you a woman.
Right.
Sorry.
You feel that?
I know that for a fact. Mm. Like, if you want me to call you a her, I will, because that's what you want. But that doesn't make you a woman just because I call you a her and just because you got a surgery.
Because people do feel that there's biological sex and then there's gender identity that you can identify as whatever you like
in terms of a gender,
right? Yeah, that's
totally.
The freedom we live in.
Absolutely.
But actually, you can't change the mechanics of biological sex. They are what they are.
Well, just every, like women go through just a completely unique experience that, and surgery or, you know, finding yourself doesn't change that. You know, being a little girl is a whole epic book, you know, and you can't have that just because you want to be a woman.
I mean, you know that when people like J.K. Rowling have said this, they get attacked, they get abused.
Yeah.
The cancel culture mob comes from me. She gets called. She gets called transphobic.
Got a great looking set.
You might get the same for saying it.
But it's the truth. And I don't think you should be called transphobic just because you don't agree.
Yeah. So she says, I don't think you should be called transphobic just because you don't agree. And she's very much being called transphobic.
Which is fine, because these are all fucking idiots who hate their stepdads. I get it. But the real problem is when they apologize. Like when they've been, that part where they've been taught and they've learned and they've been educated. That's the kind of Orwellian part. So is everyone sticking to their guns or are they apologizing?
I've yet to see an apology from Macy. And then Bette, I mean, she did all the July 4th is canceled stuff after that tweet, so maybe she's
give it a day.
Yeah, she's back in the good graces. But Macy just happened today, so we'll see what happens with her.
And on the other side of things, you hear why Jordan Peterson is off of Twitter.
Oh, he went after a doctor that performed the surgery on
Elliot Page. Ellen Page, and
right.
called the guy a criminal physician for doing that surgery.
Right. Isn't that his opinion, though?
Sure.
Like, why does Twitter have to fucking police everything?
Everybody's getting involved.
We know what Jordan Peterson says. That's what he thinks, right. And that's what he said. Twitter. And now we're all talking about it more than we probably would have. But do we need to put him in Twitter prison for that? Or isn't it this place where you get to... Look, you can be a champion of Elliot Page...
You really combined them,
Ellie and Page, or not.
Yeah.
But that's what Twitter's for. And so if you're a champion of what he did, but you get to stay. But if you're not, then you don't get to stay.
Yeah,
so why are we deciding
You're right. It doesn't make any sense because when, you know, with all the COVID misinformation, blah, 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 quote unquote, that was... You know, their view was, we know what's right. You are peddling misinformation and putting society at harm.
Yeah.
So we can't have you on here. This is not that.
No,
this is some guy saying, I don't like that doctor.
Here's my opinion. But when you look back on it, Inception, it says it starred Elliot Page.
Oh, really? They changed it?
You have to acknowledge that it's Elliot now.
But Elliot didn't do the movie.
It seems weird.
That's my take. Yeah. And it's also fucking weird because if you're, what's his name?
Jenner?
No, the other person in that movie.
DiCaprio?
Nah. Oh, no. In Inception, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
All right.
Go down the cast.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm asking you to do. All right, what if you had a son? And your son became a big star.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in a movie, and he had a love interest who was a woman named Ellen. And then the person went and changed their sex 10 years later, and then we went back and said it was a dude. Mm-hmm. Now, if you read the description of the movie, you're in a gay relationship. So everyone who was his love interest in any movie.
Juno is very confusing.
It's now a gay relationship. Yes.
Yeah. I don't demand that Christy go back and change all the awards she won before I ever met to, you know, from Christy Clough to Christy Bishop.
Name, right.
Yeah, she won them when she was, you know, or got whatever she got when she was her.
That's right.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yes. Yes, it's same with Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner won the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Caitlyn didn't win the Olympics. I don't know why we have to do this. And then it's also, like I said, super confusing because if you're uninitiated, then you think there was a gay relationship in this movie.
You
think that was a big part of the movie.
I'm exaggerating. Christy didn't win shit for something.
She didn't win that Bobby Knight chair tossing competition. Don't they have that every year?
She participated as an amateur.
Oh.
Yeah, she wasn't eligible to win.
Pro-am.
She wasn't in the open class.
That's right. They put a little A next to her name.
She's in the Powderpuff division. God, how dated is that? The Powderpuff.
That's what we called
it in
high school.
Oh, they can't do that
anymore. Oh, the when I did football like league. BMX. When I did BMX bicycle racing, there were the dudes and the girls race was the Powderpuff.
Yeah.
And
can't do that.
No one seemed offended. All right. You have this other article, which is interesting.
And sorry, didn't the Powderpuff girls or Powderpuff team?
Powerpuff.
That's right. Didn't they kick your ass?
No. The Powderpuff game was the girls playing football and the boys cheerleading.
Right.
Which I happily participated in.
But didn't they physically
as a
beat
cheerleader.
You?
No, that was the Puffs and the Chanticleers.
Oh, sorry.
Those were the two.
Get my history
those
right.
Those were the girls' groups yeah. in my high school, the Puffs and the Chanticleers. And they had a big broom ball hockey game, tennis shoe, it's crazy. Everything would be, every part of this would be illegal today. They take over the rink, the frozen rink. It started at midnight.
The goalie gets a push broom.
Yeah, everybody, all the girls are out there, you know, wearing like triple sweatpants and hoodies and padding themselves up as much as they can. They take a conventional broom and they duct tape the bottom of it, probably throw like a volleyball out there, and they all run around in tennis shoes and bash each other and smack the ball. And then all the 16, 17, and 18-year-olds who are students of North Hollywood High show up with six packs of Mickey's Big Mouth and sit in the audience and scream and get drunk.
That sounds fun.
Could you imagine that?
No.
Like, can you imagine that? Whoever owned the rink, like going, all right, the teenagers want to show up with their beer at starting about 11.
Everybody clear out.
No, we'll be
yeah.
Out
no, that was the one. That was the one dare I didn't take. I was, you know, when you said to me, let's break into the Mulholland Club. Let's stack furniture up, outdoor furniture, so we can crawl to the third story of the roof and then jump off naked.
No problem.
Clearing the pavement and the diving board and everything. I was like, I'm in. And when they'd say just about, you know, put an M80 in that guy's mailbox, I was like, I'm in for everything. This was the one thing I was like, I'm out.
Like Steve-O and the car up the ass. Wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't do it.
Smart.
I wouldn't do it. They're like, Chris and Ray are like, we're getting naked. We're going to put our junk in a paper bag and tape that on. We're going to pull up in a van right outside the two big doors at the end of the rink. They're going to burst open. We're going to run down these five stairs. We're going over the wall. We're starting at one end. We're going all the way down to the end of the rink. And then we're coming all the way back.
Very elaborate.
With just our junk in a bag and, you know, 18 crazy chicks all fucking beat down their mind with brooms out there. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And the entire school was there. The entire school was there. I was like, you're going to eat shit. They're going to pull the bag off your dick. Oh, they put a bag on their head and a bag on their
geeky
dick.
Guy.
And I was like, yeah, I was no.
Oh, that's the
unknown comic.
Unknown comic. God, they're the same to me.
Yes. And I was like, I'm going to just be watching. Because if I go down on that ice and I'm naked and those chicks are crazed and they're going for the bag and I'm just going to be laying there nude on a block of frozen ice, not doing it. And they're like, all right. Well, we're doing it because it needs to be done. And that van
needs to be done.
Pulled up like right in the middle of the game, and the doors burst open. They came running out naked, and they jumped onto the ice, and they were trucking down that ice. And the girls started attacking them immediately from both
with
sides.
Their brooms.
They just started attacking them brooms, and Ray was throwing elbows and shoulders and knocking them to the ground.
Problematic on many levels.
I know, and they were running. And they ran, and the chicks were sliding into them, and they were jumping over them and banging them with their shoulder and throwing elbows and forearms and stuff. And they successfully made it all the way down to the end and all the way back, went over the railing.
No one pulled the bag off their head?
No.
Wow.
These guys were good football players, strong, soberish, and had good balance and went over the top. jumped out of the door, jumped into the van with the sliding door, like kind of the A-team one. And I remember whoever jumped in first just slammed the door. So Chris and or Ray were just standing out in the parking lot with the bag around there dingling. But
can you help me with the sofa?
Now, were they Pablo Bell, were they able to keep the wraps on who this was, or were they so proud of themselves they had to tell the school it was them?
Geez, the van sped off into the night. So I don't know in real time if we're aware of it. But, you know, the guys, there's a real combination between guys willing to get nude. Mm. And there's a 1-2 punch that'll get a guy nude all the time.
Do tell.
And Ray and Chris were both those dudes. They would get nude at any party, any event, anything. Ray's big thing long before the Red Hot Chili Peppers. If there was a party, like a really crowded party, just get naked and put his junk in a sock and just walk there. Now, so here's the key. Here's the two. There's two key elements. Yay, there's the obvious. You muscular, look good. These guys were very muscular, very naturally muscular. Let's just look, you know, small waist, big arms, you know, they just looked good. Number two, they were both hairless.
Oh,
hairless. Yes. Yeah. Hairless. Chris and Ray are hairless and muscular. Mm-hmm. I had a hairy ass.
Oh boy.
So there's no way I was getting out and, you know, and presenting my shame in front of all of North Hollywood High. Hairless and muscular means I'll fucking get naked anywhere all the time. And they were the ratio, like, you know, hairless to how muscular, they're both were off peak. The fucking charts. Like literally no chest hair, no back hair, no ass, no nothing. And super muscular and defined.
Wow. The image, they were the image in the textbook.
Yes.
What you want.
Yes. All right. Naked all the time.
Noted.
But Chris found a article. What is that article?
Yeah, the study.
Oh, the study.
Sorry. Yeah, so this is from Springer Link. It's a publication for Evolutionary Psychological Science. And it was about hand grip strength.
Mm.
And they went to university, surveyed 145 males, and were able to come up with the conclusion that hand grip strength is correlated with self-assessed happiness, health, social confidence, overall physical attractiveness, and overall number of sexual partners.
Grip.
Yeah, I've always told Dave, I've been very athletic my whole life. I've always had a shitty grip. Mm-hmm. That's where the low self-esteem kicks in. Now, my right hand, I can barely fucking hold a pencil in. And I've told you the number one attribute of action heroes. Mm-hmm. It's always, the biceps, the upper body, their ability to leap. It's grip.
Hold on to the landing gear of a helicopter.
Get your fingers on the side of the mountain.
Every single one is like, that crane's 20 feet. Yeah. I'm going for it. They're like, run and just dive off 40-story buildings. You know, it's the most unrealistic part. They grab it with one hand while they're holding an infant. Like, nobody could do that. The Rock is 280 pounds. He couldn't grab that thing with one hand.
Even John McClane and the original Die Hard, falling in an elevator shaft, grabbed a hold of the ledge.
Yes, the grip is the number one thing all those studs share.
Well, bury the lead. I mean, those who got a good grip, they got a grip of girls.
That's right.
That's right.
So now you ask, well, now what is this? Is it psychological? Is it physiological? I mean, they're happy. They feel good about themselves. They're getting laid, you know. The ladies, I mean, obviously you're strong. You're virile. You know, you got a good grip. But to some guys, it's very God-given, which is I was always like strong and athletic, but never with a good grip. Then there's Jimmy's grandfather had a crazy grip. Like Jimmy's Uncle Frank would grab you like a claw.
It's not correlated in the way you would think. We had a buddy, we had a guy in college who rushed our fraternity, nice guy named Scott, ROTC, big guy, strong guy, handsome guy. He had a little, you know, limp little handshake. And we trained him to have a better handshake over the course of his pledship.
You want to hear what a stud is, speaking of, oh God, Chris. And time almost killed myself. I've told you this before. You want to talk about grip? His big move was just to stand in the doorway, just like the doorway of this studio. He'd reach up and he'd just grab the casing. And now the casing we live in a shitty apartment with streamlined casing going over the top of the door. It stood out about 5/8 of an inch, and it was rounded.
Ooh.
It wasn't sharp.
Degree of difficulty
high. It was broken. The edge was broken. He would just grab it, take both hands. He's a 210-pound guy. Grab it. He'd pull himself up.
Damn.
Off the ground. And then he'd slowly thread his legs through his arms.
What? That's pretty like bad. He's on
literally
the
through his arms and lower himself back down after he'd inverted himself.
That's Emotions 11 shit.
Yeah, I tried crazy. That shit, got my feet stuck on the ceiling, and came right down to the fucking linoleum
and there
head
you
first. Lives
for the next year.
Fucked myself up royally.
Jesus Christ.
You want to know about grip and like core strength? I know. I've told you this one before. I swear to God, fucking try it. Just try it. Try it to really appreciate it. You know, sometimes when you see guys do stuff, like they get up, they plank out or they something, you kind of look at them and go, I have to hold my beer. I could, you know, and then you try it and you're like, oh, no fucking way. Mulholland Club had a nice big diving board about 3 foot above the water. Back when you used to have a diving board, people nice. Could fucking, yeah, now we have to remove all the diving boards. That was the best part of my childhood is finding a pool with a diving board on it.
It was the last time we saw a diving board.
Hang on that, just sit in the water, just hang on the diving board, reach up. Your waist was about even with the, in the water a little bit, facing away, not facing in, and just pull himself up. Throw his legs over his head and lay down flat on the diving board.
He's a gymnast.
I've tried that 700 times. Like you can get your knees up to your chest.
Fucking.
You ain't going further than that. You ain't inverting it.
You're not flipping.
This guy, Rocky Balboa in the cabin in Russia.
Guy's 6'2", 210 pounds. Not a gymnast. Not a little guy. Good and man. Crazy grip. Crazy grip. He put his hand. He's the... You know, most people, when you want to fuck with your friends, like Ray and all those guys, they'd punch you or they'd piss on you or they'd smack you or something. He'd put his hand on your skull and just start squeezing it, and you'd think your fucking fingers were going through your skull, and you'd have to run away.
Damn.
Crazy grip, tons of ladies.
Ray didn't have the discipline to do this, but wouldn't he have been great if he was born in a different era on American Ninja Warrior? All grip, it's all grabbing things, swinging.
The only thing I will say about those guys is they were big. And those guys, they look great, but they're probably 163 pounds. Yeah. Like, it is really hard. You don't see guys climbing rock walls that are 200 plus. And if you do, fucking look out. And these guys could do that shit at over 200 pounds, but they were big guys who were super athletic for no good reason other than just genes. And then I got the Jim Carolla genes kicking in. So no grip for me. But this is interesting.
The correlation.
Give us the rundown one more time.
Hand grip strength is correlated with self-assessed happiness, health, social confidence, overall physical attractiveness, and overall number of sexual partners.
Wow. All
right.
Yeah.
Domino effect.
Yeah. So we should be praying that dragging our back sons have good grip.
Dragging them back to your cave by the hair.
It is interesting that in the 70s, there was a whole slew of devices to do your grip.
Sure.
Like guys walking around that spring-loaded thing. There's a weird ball thing that everyone used or some centrifugal ball thing. Like,
now we have
maybe
a
they knew something.
We have a Nerfy stress ball.
Yes.
And speaking of grip and slighter men, happy birthday. Happy 60th birthday, Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's all grip.
All grip.
He was at, saw him on TV at the F1 race where they had a crazy crash. I don't know if you guys saw
the crash.
They had a crazy crash right at the start. You know, they made the
Is Tom okay?
Sport. He was watching in the booth, but they had a crash and probably saved the guy's life because they instigated these carbon fiber halos over the top. They used to just race. Dude's head was hanging out. They probably had a little roll bar behind, but nothing in front. Sure. And now they have these halo systems. It's like a hoop of carbon fiber and one very thin kind of blade. This was at Silverstone in England. And at the beginning, the guy got hit, flipped, got on the it was kind of an interesting thing. They can't account for anything. The tracks are 1,000 times safer now than they than they were in the past. That's for sure.
Oof,
he's on his roof Slutty. With no roof, and then he jumps over the tire Jesus. Barrier and into the fence. Now the guy's okay because they have these newly instituted halos, these roll bars. Otherwise, he's on his head right now entire time.
Look how long he's sliding upside down.
Yeah, and he is going on his, would be on his head, and then his head through the gravel, and he didn't slow down in the gravel because he was upside down. Normally,
is that the start of the race?
Yeah, like that's the start of the race.
6 seconds in?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, and up and over the top is as well. So the tire barrier didn't catch him. Now he's rolling through the gravel pit, but it didn't slow him down because there's nothing dragging on the ground.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
It is crazy, too, that they have a medical car that chases the beginning of the
race. Yeah, I see that.
That's why.
That's a sweet gig. All right. You'll tell us when Mario gets here?
I will.
Okay. Mario Lopez, I guess running a minute or two late. There's also a story out of the San Francisco... I think I saw the news story of this, Max Babb, but I don't know if it's a print story or not. Somebody tweeted it to me.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, ABC7 covered it. So there's this couple in San Francisco that was fined $1,500 for parking in front of their house.
Well, find the news clip because there's a part. It's a little bit of a story, but there is a part of it which I like, which is essentially. Couples lived at this house for 40 years. They've always parked in the same place on their property, like in front of the house. And at some point,
it's an issue.
And parking on the street is hard because it's crowded and it's also slope, mm-hmm. steep slope. And anyone, by the way, can I say this? You should not be able to build a driveway or a street where the slope is so much that the door of your car will close on its own.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
Jimmy lived up on a street. He lived up on a street, and you'd go there for Christmas every year. And every year, it was like, oh, unpack the kids, get all the presents. Open the door.
Take your goddamn ankle off.
It'll hold. It's weird. It'll hold for like a 3 Mississippi. Like you open it up.
God forbid you jostle the car.
And then at some point you turn back to get something out of the console and the fucking door comes crashing down on you. It's like, or stiffen it up or just make the, like when you buy the car from the dealership, they should go, do you live on a steep street or do you have, because we'll give you an extra 5 pounds of gription on this door because it fucks. I have a house now. The driveway's kind of steep, but the door holds. And you're holding the mug of coffee, and then you sit in the car, and now the door comes from and smacks your elbow, and the fucking coffee's everywhere. But we'll play you this story until Mario Lopez gets here.
Parking is always a challenge in San Francisco. We know that. But for one couple, it turned into a deep dive into San Francisco history. They suddenly were slapped with a huge fine for parking in their own driveway, as they have for nearly four decades. Seven on Your Side's Michael Finney has their perplexing story, and it really is, Michael.
It's a head shaker, no doubt about it. It seems so unfair. They've been using their car pad for decades when suddenly the city said, that's illegal. Not only that, they were threatened with a $1,500 fine, a huge penalty, even by San Francisco standards. The only way out? Go back into San Francisco history.
Absolutely outrageous.
Parking in San Francisco.
It's insane. There's not enough parking. There's too many cars.
A difficult part of life here. You find a spot, get a ticket anyway.
I got hit with $2,000 worth of parking tickets.
It just seems wrong.
For Judy and Ed Crane, it seems especially unfair.
We moved in and parked in that driveway every day and every night.
They live on the steep hill where parking can be a gravity-defying challenge. But they could slip into their driveway and park on their car pad, which they'd been doing every day for the past 36 years. But not anymore.
We got this email and we can't park in the parking pad anymore. And I said, that's crazy.
Out of the blue, the couple got this ticket for parking in their own driveway.
It was very surprising, to say the least.
And worse, it came with an enormous fine, $1,542 plus another $250 per day if they didn't get the car off their car pad.
I wrote back to them and I said I thought it was a mistake.
But it was no mistake and no ordinary parking ticket. It came from the city planning department telling them it's illegal to park in the front yard of a house.
And if we were found parking there
Hold
again,
on. First off,
it would be a $1,500.
I get by the vibe who these people voted for. Good. Take it in the ass from all the fucking people you voted for. Hey, bitch, this is what you wanted? You wanted more rules? You got them, bitch. Keep going.
They're fine.
And so they quickly pulled the car out, but none of it made sense.
I would have gone full fucking Ruby Ridge on these dicks.
That has great utility, not just to us, but our neighbors in terms of more parking spaces.
Ed and Judy had been parking there for nearly four decades, and as far as they could tell, the space was used for parking since the house was built back in 1910, one of the first in their Noe Valley neighborhood.
All of a sudden be told you can't use something that we had used for years, it's startling.
And so the planning department gave them a challenge. Prove the parking was a historic use on the
this
lot.
Is a right. Great
All right,
use of
but hold on a
time.
Second. All right, let me just say this.
Prove it.
It's in my fucking books. It's in the goddamn books, everyone. If you go down Forest Lawn Drive, there are a bunch of illegals on one side of the fucking street selling flowers, making a mess, and doing whatever the fuck they want. And on the other side of the street, it's a bunch of soccer moms getting fucking tickets. When cities go harder on the taxpayers, they go softer. You know, meanwhile, they're fucking handing out syringes and safe injection zones. You have to have a middle. You can't, it's like one or the other. Like all the places, Los Angeles is one of them, San Francisco is one. All the ones that turn a blind eye to all the fucking despicable and illegal behavior from everyone living on the streets, selling whatever the fuck they want to sell, focuses that much harder on anyone trying to run a business or have park in the front. I don't know that people fully understand the relationship. It's not like we turn a blind eye to everything. No, we turn a blind eye to criminals and fentanyl use, and then we go hard on elderly taxpaying couples. San Francisco is a fucking poster child for this shit. So I'd like to live in a place, you know, Nashville, where they went, well, we have some rules, and we also have rules for people who don't want to follow rules either. But all right, keep playing it.
It'd be grandfathered in if we showed them a historical photo that showed
Christ.
A car or a buggy, a horse-drawn buggy, in the carport.
So they gotta
find away, they dug up this photo of their daughter 34 years ago, a part of the car barely visible. But officials said, not old enough.
Listen, hold on a second. Don't you fucks have other problems? Do you guys understand this? This is a metaphor for fucking huge bureaucracies. This is what it is. You want more, or would you like to fucking shrink it down just a little bit?
And meanwhile, some private company had to come up with an app to shoot pictures of human shit.
Right.
So you avoid that on the streets of San Francisco.
Not enough to, believe me, I've dealt with building and safety. Not enough to the asshole or cunt behind the counter who doesn't give two shits about your fucking driveway. And by the way, if you start pushing on them a little bit, they're like, oh, well, now it's on. Yeah. Now,
not old enough.
So this guy's got to go through the microfiche and try to find out, find pictures from 1914.
Did he?
Oh, yes.
Oh!
Oh, yes.
This is great.
And tried to find historic resources.
So hold on. They combed through hundreds of historic photos.
Hold on. I have to quit my job and become a documentarian because you fucksticks in the city council don't want me to park on my property.
Wow.
All right, keep going.
It showed the early days when there were few streets or homes.
Our house and our neighbor's house had empty fields all around.
But to find a photo of a car or a horse in their particular driveway back before the days of iPhone cameras? Nearly impossible. And then, bingo.
To me, it's pretty compelling that that was a car.
This aerial photo from 1938 shows their exact home.
So this is our house.
And Ed is sure he can see a car or a horse and buggy pulling into his driveway.
So this little black
could be a piano.
Blob looks like it's pulling into our house.
It looks like just a blob from above, but Ed says it must be a car, like all these other blobs you can see along the road.
I don't know what else they would be. To me, it's pretty compelling that that was a car pulling in or out of a parking pad.
Problem
they
rushed solved.
The photo to the planning department, the proof they needed, right?
Hey, Ed, I just put
they
your golden
that
ears.
They were too fuzzy.
The planning department said this was not clear evidence.
Oh,
officials tell us the couple was violating a code section banning vehicles in a setback in front of a house.
though it's okay to park in front of a garage like this. Planning Chief Dan Sider says it was enacted decades ago for aesthetic reasons. To quote, ensure that front yards don't turn into parking lots. But parking why lot. Enforce it now?
Yeah, he said someone made
an
problem.
Anonymous complaint to the city. Two
all right.
neighbors.
First off, all right, hold on.
Oh, somebody
Someone
squealed.
Made an anonymous complaint.
Oh, boy.
Can we round these people up and put them on fucking Devil's Island? Because I've lived next door to so many anonymous complainers. It's fucking... Somebody went to the city to complain about the elderly couple who had been there for 37 years. And by the way, the people that were complaining are probably there for 18 months
yeah,
or something.
The couple's lived there longer than they've been alive, most likely.
Right. All right. Well, sorry. Keep it going, the anonymous complaint.
So got tagged for the same violation. In an email, Sider wrote, I recognize that the property owner is frustrated, but the planning code doesn't allow for the city to grandfather illegal uses on account of their having flown below the radar for a length of time.
They were lucky.
And so, their carport sits empty as they struggle to park on the hill.
This feels really unfair. And
she's got to hold the hatch open with her head.
The city did cancel the fine after the couple got the car off the car pad and kept it off. And the city says the couple will have to build a covered carport garage if it wants to park there.
Good luck with that permit.
They can find another old photo. I want to hear from you. Go to ABC 7
All right. News. Another one? How many photos from 1918 do you think are out there on the internet?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Was that blob not clear enough for you?
Amelia Earhart took a picture in 1937. There's not a lot of them.
Oh, my God. That's evil.
Ugh. It's just indicative of like a big government in San Francisco and bureaucracy. And by the way, I guarantee these two old fucks are sitting in their fucking kitchen discussing moving to Nashville or moving to Texas or moving somewhere. This is what gets taxpayers to fucking move. All right. Mario Lopez is here. So we'll hear a few words from Hyundai and then we'll talk to Mario right after this. Everything is better electrified, like the guitar, toothbrush, cars, it's all better. And Hyundai has a wide range of electrified vehicles, including the first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. You can use electric when you want or gas when you need it. It's your journey. Evolve it beyond the pump in the 2022 Tucson or Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Visit your nearest Hyundai dealer and learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Only available in select states. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.